A lot of science would go out of the window, says Ms. Gallagher. Moreover, by its very nature, this method excludes the question of God, making it appear an unscientific or pre-scientific question. Consequently, we are faced with a reduction of the radius of science and reason, one which needs to be questioned. Second, since no human community can do without shared values understood to be true, such values as constitute a community, science is increasingly drawn away from its open-ended nature and falsely cramped into the service of political ideology, of creating the values from which no one may legitimately dissent, a task to which science is intrinsically unsuited. So climate scientists who dissent from the consensus are treated as traitors. So social scientists who publish results of which the Human Rights Campaign, America's largest LGBT advocacy group, disapproves of, are professionally savaged. So this April on Earth Day, we'll be treated to the spectacle of a march for science as if science is the kind of practice that can be defended by loud marching in the streets. Both faith and reason are corrupted, and community consequently becomes far more difficult to create and sustain. To change the world is, at some point, to take power seriously, said James Davison Hunter. But the power we need to take seriously is not power in a conventional sense. Rather, it is the power to define reality in ways that sustain benevolence and justice. In other words, through love. Without a shared faith in objective truth and a way to teach a rough consensus on what it is, where shall we get that power? How shall we do without it? Democracy then dies in darkness. And boy, howdy, are we sinking American culture, or what excuse for American culture, sinking into darkness. Folks, there is an objective way out of this, and that is to think again, okay, if the mainstream is wretched, vile, disgusting, diabolical, evil, perverse, perverted, etc., then we have to form our own mainstreams. Rod Dreher is going to make a lot of impact when his book, The Benedict Option, comes out next week. What does the Benedict Option purport to say? Well, imitate what St. Benedict did. Only Dreher, I don't think, has St. Benedict correct. What Benedict did was take the Psalms, take the Gospels, and implement them into the life of men. With the goal in mind. Again, what's the ultimate purpose? Holy death, blessed eternity. And when he saw that living in pagan Roman society, that he couldn't do that, it would be impossible for them to live like that, what did he do? That mainstream would not make it possible. So what did he do? He formed a monastery. And ultimately settled at Monte Cassino in Italy, and of course became one of the most famous saints in history. There still are Benedictines out there that have followed the rule of Saint Benedict. But Benedict didn't say that only his people or only those who were with him could come into the Benedictine order. He's quite the opposite, which is where the Benedict Option of Dreher gets off the mark. Benedict said that, no, this is proper, correct living. This is how man was intended to live, according to our Lord and the teaching of his church. And that's how we're going to live here. And you're all welcome to come in, but we have a rule. And if you won't live by the rule, then we're going to expel you. No hard feelings. We're going to expel you. So the idea that it's cloistered and it's shut off from the world is wrong. The world is incorrect. Benedict tried to get the mainstream that would deliver to him and his brothers. And, of course, his sister settled right next to him, St. Scholastica, and the sisters, brothers, sisters, holy death, blessed eternity.